Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Joining me in the studio, Corinna Lim, the Executive Director of AWARE, the Association of Women for Action and Research. Good morning, Corinna. Welcome to Weekend Mornings.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Great to have you here. Corinna, let's talk about what you see as the sort of status of the progress that women are making in Singapore when it comes to jobs, to work, to industry, boards, that sort of thing. Where have we been? Where are we now? Where do you think we're going?
We're definitely going in the right direction in relation to work.
Mm.
It's just not as fast as I think it should be, because in Singapore, there are actually more female graduates than there are male graduates. But this does not translate to women in senior positions.
Why do you think that is?
I think that there are several factors. And the thing about several factors is that it means you can work at any one of these, but it also means that not anything alone in by themselves can make that change, right? So we talk about biases and stereotypes and how people are socialized. And this idea of men as the primary breadwinner and women as the primary caregiver still is very much in play today.
Yeah.
Right? So in many families, both people work, but you will see that the man is going to have a job that is actually going to be more intense, and he's focusing much more on that. And the woman's role is very much about, okay, you work partly, but also have the primary caregiving role.
We have seen, too, that the nature of families has been evolving in Singapore. You have more single-parent families, for example, through either divorce or adoption or whatever it might be. And is that impacting women's progress forward as well?
There are a lot of single-parent families, and 70% of these are actually headed by women, right?
So 70%, some
of 70%, right? Yeah. So some of our work was really about single parents and the support that they should have. Hmm. And we're not single parents would be unwed as well as divorced parents, right? For some time, housing was not equalized for divorced parents, but now a lot of barriers have been removed.
Hmm.
So that's one of the advocacy achievements we're quite happy with.
Yeah.
And that happened maybe in the last 5 years, where it became a bit easier for divorced parents to get flats. Unwed parents still, although there has been some progress, still not equal to other people's rights to get flats.
Right.
Right. So
that's a big issue as well.
It's a big issue. I mean, you're one parent. Now you have to do the caregiving and the breadwinning. The breadwinning, right? Getting your food on the table. And yet you may not have stable housing. So you don't want that to be another fight.
Sure.
Right? So yes, single parents is still an ongoing issue that we're working on.
Mm.
But back to work, right? So what else is happening? I think, for example, why is it that we have board directorships at less than 20%? It's between 14 to 18%.
Mm-hmm.
This is much lower than other developed countries, right? So we should be higher in that region because our education system is very good. It's mostly very fair. There is, parents believe in sending both girls and boys to school.
Sure.
Yeah, but
it's interesting because there are organizations like Board Agenda and others that are working hard to try to correct that and to try to balance that out.
Yeah.
But there still is a lot of work to do, isn't there?
But we have to look at recruitment processes, for example, for the board, right? How are these people recruited to the board? It's usually, I'll ask my friend.
Yeah.
And if you're a man, your friend's probably the guy you're playing golf with, right? Or someone that, you're hanging out with. So if you don't have a process which is much more professional and structured and board, many of the board recruitments are not that way, then you're going to be employing people who look like you and who are like you.
Yeah.
Right? So then it's hard to break that status quo.
There really is an economic imperative, isn't there, to making sure that, half the world's population is represented in companies, in politics, across every industry or every facet of our culture. And we still, it's hard to believe that in the year 2020, we're still having this discussion and this fight still goes on, a hundred and whatever years after suffrage in the U.S., that's still a problem, although I think it's probably better in some cases in the numbers anyway in the U.S.
Yeah, there was a huge study just done by the UNDP, just came out a few days ago, and it was really looking at personal beliefs, values, and Singapore's included in the study.
Oh.
And it found that the majority of people believed that men should have more rights to a job than women, and that they make better executives, right? It comes
was
down
that
to
men and women answering that.
Yes,
men see, now and that's women. Part of the problem, isn't it?
This is not about men. This is really about a way of thinking, right?
Yeah,
so gender equality is not about, you know, what do we do about men. It is really about the way that we think.
Yeah.
Each and every person. So each for equal is actually quite a good theme for International Women's Day, because it really is about, you know, let's examine what we think about these issues. And I think, very honestly, many people will have certain biases. Some of these biases would be unconscious, right? So there is actually a Harvard test. It's the implicit bias test. And you can take it to see where, you know, how much bias you have on an unconscious basis. I took it myself and I was shocked to find that I had some bias that was, you know.
Interesting.
Yes, pro-men, right? This idea of men as breadwinners and women as caregivers. So,
yeah.
You know, I think we all have to work at it. So even though, you know, I've been doing work in this area for so long, there is that socialization, which is quite difficult to actually know and to deal with. But one can try to be as conscious as possible of these things.
And this is not at all to say that, you know, caregiving is not a full-time job and a very respectable one at that. I think that because we see moms everywhere that work, you know, as hard in the home as their counterparts do at the office, that is really truly a full-time job. I think the challenge from my perspective is when women want to work outside and there is a barrier of some sort, the traditional or non-traditional.
Thanks for bringing that up. So that's
ceiling.
The other issue that we're working on, right? More support for caregivers.
Yeah.
So if caregivers, whether they're male or female, and it still tends to be more female, there should be much more support for them. So our greatest concern is really the aging of Singapore, right? In 2025, baby boomers are going to be turning 75. What does that mean? A whole lot of people, right? Because they're baby boomers.
Five years away, right?
Are suddenly going to be 75, and that's the time when people start going to hospitals, right?
Yeah.
Diseases will come in, and who will give this care if our infrastructure is not, you know, completely up and very comprehensive? It's going to fall more on women. We have already done a survey on this, and we have found the impacts of women 45 to 65 giving care to their parents. We asked, why were you the one to give care? And there was definitely a gender component. They were chosen by their siblings because they were the single daughter, right, in many of these cases.
Yeah.
And they had very little support. They all had jobs before, and now they were either partially or had fully given up their jobs.
Wow. There's a whole new younger generation of women activists, young activists, and you at AWARE have also reached out quite a lot to work with the Singapore government to talk about these issues. Tell me a few of the conversations and the successes that you've had in working with the Singapore government to bring these issues to the fore.
Yeah, I think the Singapore government is committed to improving and keep progressing our gender equality agenda. Singapore signed a convention, a very important one, called the Convention on All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, right? And so that is that commitment to keep shifting gender equality. So whether it is a conversation on housing, right? We already have a similar goal, right? Which is to make sure that women have enough, men and women have enough support, but in particular, because many of the single parents are women, that they have access to housing.
Yeah.
But there will be other considerations that they will have to deal with. So while we would like to see, okay, you know, can you change this in 3 years? But for them, it will have to be, we can make progress towards this, but it might take 10 years.
Some incremental changes along the way.
Yes. Yeah. So housing is one area where government has almost full control. So, you know, that one I think is easier for them to change. An area that's harder for them to change is work. Because they don't control all of work, right? There are companies, there is the global economic situation. There are so many factors. And Singapore also wants to be a great place to do business. So the government's trying to balance that together with, you know, it's a great place for people to work and to have, you know, really good terms of employment. So there are, for the government, I think, many considerations. For us, we're just saying, we're looking at, why are there so many women that are not working? 40% at any one time, 40% of women who could be working are not working. Why is that? And what can we do to change that, right? To make it possible for them to have that, to work if they want to work,
yeah,
right?
What's your, you know, looking forward, what's your wish, what's your dream a year from now? What would you like to have be different in the scene for women trying to get in the workplace?
A year from now. Yeah, I mean, okay, so I think one area where we are doing a lot of work, Singapore government is doing a lot of work, is actually in the area of aging and caregivers, because I think they are also sensing, they know, right, that if we don't get this right, caregiving infrastructure, right, it is going to hurt people at work and our workplaces. So I would like to see in 1 year's time a lot more support for caregivers. And, you know, they've started with match savings on CPF, but even, you know, consider financial support, right? Can we give caregivers an allowance for giving up their work to do caregiving work at home?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because they're actually losing a lot of money there. I would love to see really more companies having policies, and this is not so difficult. Have workplace harassment policies, train your people on this, right? And make sure that you set a culture where this is, you have zero tolerance to these things. So if you ask me, a short time frame, these are things that I think are doable, right? Yeah. And are very urgent.
But everybody has to play their part, don't they?
Yes.
Government, companies, NGOs.
Fathers, mothers, young people, old. Yes, everyone. It really is not something that just for government or NGOs to do.
Corinna Lim, Executive Director of AWARE, thank you so much for being with us on Weekend Mornings.
You're most welcome. My pleasure. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.